This is going to be the Zichru Chazara for the first parak of Masechta Sukkah, and as usual, we thank Rabbi Goldhar so very much for putting together such an incredible program that allows us to remember our learning, and Rabbi Barry Leibowitz as well, and the rules are the same as they always have been, and that is that with Zichru, we don't have to look in any sefer, we don't have to look at any notes, we just say the daf, and Be'ezras Hashem, we remember the three main points that come up on each and every daf. So, without further ado, and Masechta Sukkah Daf Beis begins with Sukkah Lamala Mechaf Amma. The Mishnah says it's Psula according to the Chachamim. So the Gemara raises the question, why does it say Psula over here? Whereas when it comes to a Mavwe with a Korah that's more than Chaf Amma off the ground, we say Yema'it. We don't say Psula. We say what you're supposed to do about it to be Mema'it. So the Gemara gives two answers. One answer is that on a D'oraisa, we're going to say in absolute terms Psula, whereas on a D'rabbanan, we're not going to say Psula. We're just going to say Yema'it. And the other answer is that since there are so many different types of sukkah that can be fixed in different ways, it would be much longer to go through how to fix each type of sukkah, whereas by a mavoi, it's very straightforward and simple. There's only one case, so it only says yema'et. Then the Gemara discusses how why it is that a sukkah l'mala mechaf amah is in fact possible, and there are three possible explanations. The one that was included in the Zichru Simanim is l'man yedu do reseichem ki besukkah so shafti, that a person who's sitting in a sukkah should see the schach and realize that he's sitting in the sukkah. The other two answers the Gemara gave was that a person should be getting the shade from the schach and not be getting shade from the walls, and if it's very, very tall, the shade that he's going to be getting is mostly from the walls, or that the sukkah should be a diras harayah and not a diras keva, and a very tall sukkah is going to be a diras keva. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara has three different versions of what Rav said to sort of limit the machlokas tanaim in the Mishnah about a sukkah l'mal mechaf amah, meaning three different possibilities of what he said, where maybe kuli amalo pligi, that a sukkah l'mal mechaf amah is going to be kasher. So one of those versions of what Rav said is that the machlokas is only kesha'ein defanos magil, so schach. If the walls don't reach the schach, but if the walls in fact reach all the way to the schach, maybe everyone would agree that such a sukkah would be kasher. On Daf Gimel, the Gemara discusses the size of a sukkah katana, what the minimum shear of a sukkah is. We have a three-way machlokas, Beis Hillel holds 6 tfachim by 6 tfachim, Beis Shammai holds 7 tfachim by 7 tfachim, and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds 4 amos by 4 amos. But the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is not only about the minimum size of a sukkah, it's also about what happens if a person is sitting Rosh of Ruba Besukaso, Vishulchano Besoch Habayis. Do we make a gezeira that it's problematic that Shema Yimashe Chachar Shulchano, that you might come to end up exactly where your table is? Now, once we mentioned the Shita of Rebbe, that a sukkah that's Dalet al Dalet, the sukkah, minimum size of a sukkah is supposed to be Dalet Amos al Dalet Amos, the Gemara tells us that there are a number of halachos that relate to a bayis and therefore would only apply to something that is Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. For example, a room only requires a mezuzah. Is only if it's a bias, it's Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, to participate in a Erev Chatzeros, to participate in a Shituf Emavuos, to be Chozer Olav Me'orchei HaMolchama, to make an Ibor Bein Shtei Ayaros, Nigei Batim, all of these halachos relate to something that's only Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. However, the Gemara says, something that's less than Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos can house the Shituf Emavuos, meaning while it would not require someone who lives there, would not be required to participate in the Shituf Emavuos, it can house the Shituf Emavuos, because Shituf Emavuos could even just be kept in the Chatzer that's within the Mavoi. It doesn't actually need to be kept in a bayis. Now, if it's pachas midalad amos midalad amos, we would not be able to house the eruv chatzeros, but the shitufei mavuos, it's able to house. And then on Daf Dalad, we discussed what happens if you have hutzin that are yordin lamata mechaf. You have a sukkah, it's more than 20 amos high, but there are branches of schach that dip within the 20 amma mark. So we said, if those branches are tzilasim rum mechamasan, then the sukkah is going to be kasher. But if those branches are chamasim rum mitzilasan, then the sukkah is going to be pasul. You contrast that with a sukkah that's 10 tfachim high, where there are hutzin that are yordin betoch 10 tfachim, where in such a case we say it doesn't matter, chamasim ruba, tzilasim ruba, either way it's going to be pasul, because then it's going to be a dira srucha. So what happens if you have a sukkah that's l'mal mechavama, and you want to be misake in the sukkah? So what do? So one case the Gemara gives is if you build an itztva, you build a platform in the emtz, in the on the middle wall, the back wall of the sukkah. silica that runs end to end from one side wall to the other, all along the back wall, and from the top of that platform, you're within 20 amos of the schach. So wonderful. So that makes that area kosher. Not only does it make that area kosher, even the area off the itztava is going to be kosher, because it's going to be kosher midin pesel eyotzei min ha-sukkah. But then the Gemara talks about, what if you build a platform right in the middle of the sukkah, so you build it pe'emtza, so that's going to be kosher. What if you build it minatzad, you build the platform along one of the side walls, so then it depends. Are you within four amos of the other side wall? If you are, then you have dofen akuma, and it's able to be kosher. And the Gemara tells us that we apply dofen akuma in a number of cases, not only in a case where you already have walls, and it's just a matter of bringing the wall closer, of making the wall count for the sukkah, but even in this case where the wall is the mal mechavama and is therefore not a kosher wall, so la'ashvuye dofen, even to make it into a dofen, we're applying the principle of dofen akuma. We even apply the principle of dofen akuma from all four walls at the same time. If you have a bayis shenifchas and you're sikech al gabav, you could apply dofen akuma on all four sides simultaneously, but that's the principle of dofen akuma. On amud beis, on dalet amud beis, the Gemara talks about if you build a stage in the middle of the sukkah that's 10 tefachim high. So will we say, and it's more than 4 amos away from all the side walls, but will the side surface of the stage that you built count as the walls of the sukkah? Because after all, good asik mechitzta. So the Gemara said that there's several lemeimah that good asik mechitzta, but then maybe you need mechitzos hanikaros, and that would not qualify as mechitzos hanikaros. Now, so the Gemara discusses the cases where you put poles on top of a roof, and then you are mesakech over that. Do you apply good asik mechitzta from the sides of the walls of the building, or do we say that one requires mechitzos hanikaros? And then on daf hey, the Gemara on the bottom of the Dalam and Beis, the Gemara already raises the question, where do we get the idea that you need a minimum of 10 tefachim for the walls? So the first suggestion is that we learn it from Aron v'Kaporis, that the Aron was 1.5 amos tall. We're assuming an amabas shisha tefachim, so the Aron itself was 9 tefachim tall. The Kaporis was added another tefach of height, because the Kaporis was a tefach thick, so that's 10 tefachim, because we know the Olam le'yard shechina l'mata me'asara, no alamosha l'mala me'asara, so it's a separate rishus. 10 tefachim is considered an independent rishus. So the Gemara says, yeah, but how do I know that the kaporis in fact was a tefach? Maybe we should learn the thickness of the kaporis from the tzitz, which was only a couple of etzbaos, or from the zer. So it says, no, the smallest of the kalim is the meskeres hashulchan, assuming that the meskeres was an actual functional meskeres and not just a decorative meskeres, and tafasta merubah lo tafasta. So we're always going to learn from the smallest of the kalim, and that's how I know that it's in fact a tefach. The Gemara says, alternatively, if you assume that the amos of kalim are amos bas chamisha tefachim, this would mess up the whole cheshbon a little bit. So alternatively, maybe we derive the height of 10 tefachim from the keruvim, because the keruvim hover over the top of the kaporis by 10 tefachim, and when the pasuk describes the wings of the keruvim, it's misakech b'kafeihem. So we see that sikuch is with a minimum of 10 tefachim. That also, the Gemara questions that if it's an amah bas chamisha tefachim, then it wouldn't work. It would have to be 11.5 tefachim. Not going to get into that right now. Daf vav, the Gemara discusses shiurin, chatzitzin, mechitzin are halacha l'moshe misinai. So when it comes to saying that shiurim are halacha l'moshe misinai, the Gemara says, what do you mean shiurim are halacha l'moshe misinai? We derive all the shiurim from the pasuk that talks about the shivas haminim shenishtabach ben eretz Yisrael. So those are all alluded to in the pasuk. How could you say that that's considered halacha l'moshe misinai? So the Gemara says, nah, the pasuk is only in asmachta, but all of those shiurim are in fact halacha l'moshe misinai. What about chatzitza? So the Gemara says, well, clearly, the idea of chatzitza in general is a din daraisa. Even the idea that chatzitza applies to hair is a din daraisa, because es b'saro es hatafel b'saro includes the hair as well. But you know what's halacha l'moshe misinai about chatzitza? The rules of miut, of rubo hamakbid being a chatzitza midoraisa, that's a din that only if it covers a rove and it's makbid, only then is it a chatzitza midoraisa. That's a din daraisa. That's halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Happens to be midrabanan. If it's either rove or makbid, it would be a chatzitza midrabanan. The Gemara says, well, maybe even a miut she'eino makbid should be a chatzitza. The Gemara says, no, we don't make a gzeira. The gzeira. On Amud Beis, the Gemara talks about how many walls a sukkah actually requires. Does it need two plus a bit, or does it need three plus a bit? So the Gemara has, I think, five different explanations of what that machlokas is really about. Meaning, is it about yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemesores, based on the words basukas, basukas, basukos? Is it since it's read sukos, but it's spelled sukas? Do we read it as singular or plural? Is it about whether dorshin tchilos or ein dorshin tchilos? Is it about schacha ba'yikra, whether you need a pasuk to count for the schach? Is it about whether a halachal Moshe Sinai adds on beyond the number of walls that are alluded to in the Torah, or it's mima'it, the last wall? So all these different explanations of what exactly the machlokas is, but we do have this machlokas, whether a sukkah needs to be two plus a bit or three plus a bit in terms of the amount of walls. On Dav Zayin, the Gemara says, okay, if you can have Shtayim Kel Chasad, Ushlisha Safilu Tefach, Oso Tefach Hechan Ma'amido, where exactly do you put that Tefach? So the Gemara has different opinions of how to place that Tefach in a way that a single Tefach will generate a third wall, will count as a third wall. Then the Gemara discusses, you know, when we say the Chamasa Mumitzilasa is Pasul, what do we mean by that exactly? Do we mean Chamasa only Machmas Chach is Mumitzilasa? That the Schach lets in more sunlight than it provides shade, or even machmas defanos, all the sun is peeking through the defanos. So Rabbi Yoshi's shita is that even chamaso machmas defanos is going to be possible, that the defanos have to be solid enough to block out most of the sunlight. And in fact, the Gemara says Rabbi Yoshi is therefore one of the many opinions that we find throughout the Masechta whose shita is based on the principle that sukkah diras keva be'inan, that a sukkah needs to be a diras keva and not a diras arai. You know, who else is on that list? Well, we mentioned already before, Rebbe's shita that a sukkah needs to be dalet amos by dalet amos. The shita that a sukkah needs to be three walls plus a fourth wall of a tefach is instead of two plus a tefach. There are a number of shitos that seem to be based on the principle that sukkah diras keva be'inan and not diras arai be'inan. And then on Daf Ches we discussed, Rabbi Yochanan already on the bottom of Daf Zayin and Beis mentioned that if you have a round sukkah, that the sukkah should be large enough that that 24 people could fit around the perimeter of the sukkah. So the Gemara goes through some geometry to figure out how that calculates. 4x4 Amma Sukkah is going to calculate into a circle that fits 24 people around the perimeter. It would seem that that's way bigger, that the circle that you should only need to have a circumference, after the Gemara does all the calculations, of I think it was 16.8 Amos, and 24 people is going to be a circumference of 24 Amos. So first the Gemara said, no, every three people fits in two Amos, so it's really 16 Amos, and Rabbi Yochanan was just a little duck. He wasn't being precise, but he said, you're not going to be precise and you're going to be more makel in the way you express things than what the halacha really is, and people are going to end up with non-kosher sukkahs. So that's not a good idea. So the Gemara said, no, what he meant was that really, when he said 20, each person takes up an amma, but he's counting the people, the space, that he's counting the circle from inside of where the people are, which means that the diameter of the circle is only 6 amos, not 8 amos. So therefore, the circumference of the circle is 18 amos. And that's lo duck and lo chumra lo duck. That really only needs 16.8 amos circumference. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you can get away with, he just says it simply, they should have an 18 amma circumference of the circle. So that's the chumra lo duck. Then the Gemara in Amud Beis discusses, we have shnei sukkos shel yotzim zu lefnimi zu. You have two sukkos of potter, one where he lives in the inner room and one where he sells his wares in the outer room. So we said the inner room is where he lives throughout the year, so it's going to be chayv in mezuzah, and it's not going to be a kosher sukkah because it's where he lives the whole year. The outer room is not chayv in mezuzah, but it is going to be a kosher sukkah. Then the Gemara talks about sukkahs ganvach, sukkahs rakvash, a sukkah made by nashim and behemos. So all of those are kosher sukkahs, sukkahs ganvach, sukkahs rakvash. The Gemara makes a trichusa. Why you need to tell me sukkahs rakvash is kosher if you already told me sukkahs ganvach is kosher, and vice versa. On Daf Tes, the Mishnah tells us that we try to figure out why it is that you're not allowed to be nena from the atzeh sukkah throughout the yom tov of sukkah. So we said kashem shachal shem shemayim al chagiga kachal shem shemayim al ha sukkah. That just like chagiga has kedusha, the sukkah has kedusha, and therefore you're not allowed to be nena from the walls of the sukkah. The Mishnah on Tesamun Beis at the top says that a sukkah tachas a sukkah is possible. If you have a sukkah underneath another sukkah, it's going to be possible. And a sukkah tachas ha'ilan is like making a sukkah b'soch habayis. And that's also problematic, obviously, to have a sukkah tachas ha'ilan, because a sukkah b'soch habayis is obviously going to be possible. On Daf Yud, the Gemara discusses, well, how tall does the top sukkah have to be to invalidate the bottom sukkah? So there are three shitos, the Gemara quotes. One possibility is just one tefach of height in the top sukkah, because it's already creates a halachic ohel, so that will invalidate the bottom sukkah. Another possibility is four tefachim, because four tefachim is already a makom chashuv, and whatever has chashivas of a makom is going to invalidate the bottom sukkah. Or what we probably would have thought most logically is that only if the top sukkah is actually a kosher sukkah, which means that the top sukkah is ten tefachim high, only then will it invalidate the bottom sukkah. The Gemara has four cases, one where both sukkahs are possible, one where both are kosher, one where the top one is possible, bottom one is kosher, one where the top one is kosher, bottom one is possible. The Gemara goes through all of those ukimtas. But we also mentioned on Daf Yud that you're not allowed to spread a cloth in order to catch falling pieces of schach underneath your schach, or even on top of your schach. You're not allowed to spread a cloth. But if the cloth is there for decorative purposes, then you are allowed to spread a cloth in order just to decorate. But the Gemara has a discussion: what if decorations dip within lower than four tefachim from the height of the schach? That might be problematic, even though it's decorations. The Gemara also just mentions agav, the kinds of things that they use for decorations were usually not just sadinin, not just cloths, but they would use fruits, parchilei anavim, things like that as decorations for the sukkah. On Daf Yud, we also discuss if you have a tent inside of the sukkah and you sleep inside the tent, is that going to be problematic? So it really depends on two factors. It depends if the tent is 10 tefachim high or not, and also depends whether the tent has some sort of roof that it doesn't just come to a point, but has at least a 1 tefach wide roof. On Daf Yud Aleph, we discuss the principle of tasav lo min ha'asui, that certainly a sukkah has to be made, the schach has to be made. So what happens if you're hidla la'asagef and you have attached vines that are running over the sukkah, and then you cut those vines? Is that enough of an asiyah? And the Gemara says we have a similar concept when it comes to making tzitzis. Let's say you put the tzitzis strings in, but they're all looped around and connected, so it's not kosher tzitzis yet, but then you cut it. So is the cutting itself, is that enough of a ta'aseh to make it kosher? We also have a discussion on base. If you have hadasim that have a lot of berries on the hadasim, does cutting off the berries from the hadasim make it kosher hadasim? Because I don't remember exactly how many, but let's say four or so different explanations of what that machlokas might be about. The machlokas might be about whether there's a din of tasav lo min asui by hadasim at all, because maybe lulav ein sarach eged, there's no din of sias halulav. Or maybe lulav is sarachega, but we don't learn lulav misukkah, that made by sukkah there's a din of ta'asa, but there's no din by lulav of ta'asa. So we have different explanations of what exactly that machlokas is about in terms of cutting off the berries from the hadasim. So this is on Daf Yir Aleph. So did we get everything? So on Daf Yir Aleph, we said it's cutting the tzitzis and cutting the vines. And we also on the bottom of Yir Aleph and Beis, we discuss how I know that schach, that in order to for something to be kosher as schach, it has to be something that's gidulim in haaretz and eino mekabel tuma. So one of the possibilities that the Gemara suggests in Daf Yir Aleph, before it suggests differently on Daf Yir Beis, is ve'ed yalim in haaretz, that we derive the halachas of schach from a mist or a cloud that comes up from the ground. So that because there's a discussion whether sukkahs are are meant to be a zecher to the Anani HaKavod, or whether they're a zecher to Sukkos Mamish. So if they're a zecher to the Anani HaKavod, so then it makes sense that the Eidi Alam and Aretz might be a proper source for the requirements of Schach. On Daf Yud Beis, the Gemara discusses two Mishnahs. One Mishnah says Hachotit Begadish, that if you hollow out a cavity within a pile of straw to make a 10 tefach high, 7x7 tefach wide area, that's puzzle. And the other talks about if you take bundles of schach and you throw them on top of the sukkah, whether that's going to be puzzle as well. But the Gemara says we have two explanations of why these two things are true. One is because of Tasav Lamin Asui, and one is because of the Gezeras Otsar. And at first, we're not sure which one is which, because really both explanations would apply to both, meaning would apply to both issues. So either one could really be, either Mishnah could be explained with the Psul Darais of Tasav Lamin Asui, or even if you did it L'Shem Schach, it could be explained with the problem Midrabanan of Gezeras Otsar. The Gemara also says that for schach, if you use the female part of the arrow, it's not going to be kosher schach. If you use the male part of the arrow, then it will be kosher schach. What's the chiddush in each of those statements? Well, using the male part being kosher is a chiddush, because I might have thought that since you can't use the female part, we make a gzera, you can't use the male part either. So kamashmal, we don't make such a gzera. Using the female part of the arrow being pasul is a chiddush, because even though it has a base kibul, I might have assumed that a base kibul also in the malus is not going to be considered a real base kibul, and therefore it shouldn't have a din of a kli, and it should be kasher, kamash malan, that it's still going to be possible. That apparently, even though the base kibul is also in the malos, it's ultimately going to be filled, it still counts as a base kibul. At the end of the daf, the Gemara also discusses sometimes you could have something that is perfectly schach kasher, fits the requirements of schach kasher, but midrabanan, we're not going to allow it, such as very smelly schach, because there's a gezeira that a person is going to abandon the sukkah if the schach reeks. On Daf Yud Gimel, we discuss if you have like a, what looks like a bundle, but it's the thing that grows out next to the root, the base of a date palm, where it's naturally bundled together at the bottom, and then it shoots out at the top. So he said, that's not called an igud, that's not called a bundle, and therefore that's not going to be a problem, because eged b'dei shemayim is lo shemei eged, that's not considered bundled together. And once it's not considered bundled, it's considered just a single unit, even if you tie it together, you artificially tie it together on the top, that's eged b'chad. Eged b'chad is lo shmei eged. If you tie a rope around a single bamboo stick, that's not called an eged. It's not called a real binding. Similarly, we discuss if you have a hut that's tied together at the top where it comes to a point, and it's also attached together at the bottom where it's much wider, so as long as you untie the top, it's going to be kosher, even though it's still attached at the bottom, because you can't be metaltel b'makom l'makom based on the attachment at the bottom, so it's not going to be considered an eged in that sense either. And the Gemara in Yud Gimel also discusses how even though technically speaking lettuce leaves should be a perfectly should be able to be used for schach, but we make a gzera that you're not allowed to do so because it may wither and it may and then you're not going to have any coverage. And we have a similar din when it comes to Hilchos Tumah, that even though it's mevi esatumah, if you have a roof made out of the lettuce, it's mevi esatumah, lettuce which is kosher for maror, that's the ideal vegetable to use for maror. So even though it would be mevi esatumah in terms of forming an oval and a roof over tumah, so it would transmit the tumah to anything else that's under the roof, but we're also going to be machmir that the tumah will shoot straight through it, which normally it does not do with an oval, but because the leaves may wither at any moment, so that's a chumrah that we have midrabanan. On Daf Yudalid, in the context of discussing yados of ochlim and yados of that which you cut for schach, do we assume that there's tumah in the yados, in the handles of the natural handles of the items that you're cutting from the ground? So we mentioned that something might be considered a yad, even if you don't pick it up by hand, but just the fact that the yad is attached to the ochel allows it to be more easily transferred by use of a pitchfork. So once we mention the pitchfork, we say, a pitchfork is like a tefillah tzaddikim are compared to like a pitchfork. That just like a pitchfork brings all the grain from this side to that side, so too the tzaddikim, the tefillah son shel tzaddikim, changes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas adin to midas harachmanos, that it changes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment judgment into a judgment of rachmanus. We also mentioned on Daf Yudale that you're not allowed to be misakech using boards of a using flat boards. It's a question of machlokas tanaim, whether you could be misakech using boards and a machlokas amoraim. What exactly the case of the machlokas tanaim is? Do the tanaim only disagree if the board is more than four tefachim? Do the tanaim disagree if the board is between three and four tefachim? But if it's more than four tefachim, then everybody would have a problem. And then the Gemara even discusses what if the board is standing on its edge, so it's not four tefachim flat because it's standing on its edge. Do we say that no? Once it's a four tefach board, I don't care how it's positioned. It's like shvud and shel barzel. It's chach pasul. Or do you say no? It's as long as it's not taking up four tefachim on top of the sukkah, so it doesn't look like a tikra. It doesn't look like a roof of a house, and therefore there's no reason to pasul such a board. On daf tesvav, we discussed that how to fix a problem if you have boards on top of the sukkah. So in machlokas tanaim, do you need to be notalach mi bein a time and shake up the boards that are there? Do you only need to shake and not be notalachas mi bein a time? So we have this machlokas tanaim in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, on the bottom of the page, the Mishnah tells us that if you have the same amount of schach pasul and airspace, you could fill in all that airspace with schach kosher, and then it's going to be kosher. So the Gemara discusses why, if it's 50-50, would it exactly be kosher? And the Gemara says, because it's really going to be more like 51%, because you can leave a little wiggle room to stick in all the schach pasul, or it could be that the overlap area will count more as schach kosher. So if it's 50-50, you fill in the airspace fully with schach kosher, and then it's going to be okay. We also mentioned that even though worn out kelim are not mekabel tuma, they're not gidulim in arts, they should be perfectly good. Worn out clothing should be perfectly good for schach, but we don't allow it. Midrabanan, we don't allow that which used to be part of a kli, that which used to be part of a garment, even though it's no longer, we don't allow using it for schach. And daf tazayin, we mentioned that even though achotit begadish, if you hollow out an area in a haystack, we said it's going to be possible, it's going to be a violation of tasa velomina asli, but that's only if it didn't already start with a tefach of height. If it started with a tefach of open airspace of height, so then it already was schach, so you could be chotit further in order to create that sense of a sukkah. We also mentioned daf tezayin that a mechitza tuluya seems to be a machlokas both over here in terms of hilchos sukkah as well as in terms of hilchos Shabbos. If you have a bar shebein shtei chatzeros and there's a mechitza tuluya that separates the bar, can you take water if you don't have an air of chatzeros between the two chatzeros? Can each side fill up with water? So it's dependent on the machlokas and mechitza tuluya. So the Gemara says we're enticed to say that it's the same machlokas, that if you hold the mechitza tuluya works for a sukkah, then you're going to hold it works for Shabbos, and if you hold it doesn't work for a sukkah, you're going to hold it doesn't work for Shabbos. But that would be incorrect to make such an assumption, because on the one hand, Shabbos is more chamer because Shabbos is nisr skila, so maybe you'll be less inclined to allow mechitza tuluya for Shabbos. On the other hand, Shabbos is more kal because we're only talking about erev chatzeros over here, which is drabanan, where a sukkah we're talking about a mechitza midaraisa, so you'd be more inclined to allow mechitza tuluya on Shabbos than you would be on sukkah. So essentially, we cannot derive what anyone's shita would be about one from what we know their shita is about the other. We also discuss if you have a mat that has a height of 4 plus tfachim, if you position it just right, where it's within 3 tfachim of the ground and within 3 tfachim of the schach, so you're utilizing lavud on both ends, then it's going to be kosher. We might have thought that we would not employ lavud simultaneously in both directions, both on the top and the bottom, so kamash milan, that we could employ lavud in both directions simultaneously. On daf yud zayin, we discussed that the shear of avir to run a sukkah is to run the schach is 3 tfachim, whereas the shear of schach pasul is 4 amos min hatzad. Now there's a machlokas whether it's also 4 amos be'emtza or 4 tfachim be'emtza. So the Gemara says, well, if it's really, the Gemara raises a challenge, if it's really only 4 tfachim be'emtza, so then it's not really about a shear per se, it's just about a makom chashuv. And if it's only about a makom chashuv, then why would it be that if you have, let's say, 3.9 tfachim of schach pasul next to 2.9 tfachim of avir, why would that be okay? the combination of the two, you have more than four tefachim, which is a makom chashuv of that which is not kosher schach. Whereas the Gemara wanted to suggest, if you hold that the shear is four amos, both be'emtza and menatzad, so then you understand four amos is a shear, and whenever you have a proper shear for something, and two things are not shavu shiurayhu, two things do not have the same shear, they're never mitzdarif with each other. So it makes sense that you could have something that's 3.99 amos of schach pasul next to 2.9 tefachim of avir, and it won't be mitzdarif to pasul because two things that have different shiurim are not mitzdarif. The Gemara questions that premise. Is that true that when you have two things that have different shiurim that they're not mitzdarif from the dinim of textiles and what size of different textiles are mekabel tuma and being mitzdarif? Then the Gemara has an answer to that question though. On Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara talks about a machlokas whether yesh lavad be'emtza or ein lavad be'emtza. Is lavad something that we could even be makel with in the middle of a sukkah? We also mentioned that sometimes it's somewhat counterintuitive. That let's say you have, five tefachim of schach pasul. So you know what you could do to make your sukkah kosher? Remove two of those tefachim of schach pasul and just leave a blank. So that way you'll have three tefachim of schach pasul, two tefachim of avir, so that you don't meet the shear of either one of them to cause a problem. So that might work on a sukkah. And then on the beis we have a discussion about pitikra yorid v'sosim, whether we apply the principle of pitikra yorid v'sosim when it comes to sukkah, the way we would when it comes question whether we apply pay Erevin also. So when it comes to mechitzos in general, do we apply the principle of pitikra yorid v'sosim? On Daf Yud Tes, I'm just reminded now that I forgot to mention back on Daf Zayin that when we spoke about having a tefach wall, we said that migod avidofen lin sukkah avidofen lin Shabbos, that whatever is going to work as a dofen for sukkah is going to work for the Shabbos of sukkahs to allow you to carry in there, and not only that, whatever is going to work for a dofen for Hilcha Shabbos is going to allow you to eat in a sukkah that has that dofen. So like by Pasei Biraos and the like, even though that shouldn't work for sukkahs, but since it works for Shabbos, it works for sukkahs as well. So anyway, on Daf Yud Tes, we discussed Psala Yotzim in HaSukkah. What if you're sitting in an area that on its own does not really meet the criteria of a kosher sukkah, but it's an extension of a kosher sukkah? And we have four examples of Psala Yotzim in HaSukkah. For example, it's on the reverse side of that third wall where schach overhangs on the other side and you're sitting on that other side, or where there are parts of the schach that are chamasim u'mitzilasa and you're sitting in those parts of the schach even though b'gadol the sukkah is really tzilasim u'mechamasa, or that you're in a sukkah katana that has less than three tefachim of pasul schach that you're sitting underneath. So these are three of the four examples the Gemara gives of psala yotzim in a sukkah that the sukkah is that it's going to be kosher to sit under. The Gemara also talks about if you have a schach that and walls that are not clearly defined. It's like you take a sheet of schach and you lean it up against the wall. So where does the wall start? Where does the schach start? Where does the wall end? Where does the schach end? So the Gemara discusses whether that's a machlokas, whether that's going to be kosher or not. But everyone agrees that if it's elevated the tefach off the ground, or it's distanced the tefach from the wall, where you do have some area of at least one tefach that is very clearly defined as either wall or schach, then kuli amal opligi that it's going to be kosher. And that also begins the discussion at the end of Daf Yud Tes about mats, whether mats are going to be. The Mishnah talks about whether mats are going to be kosher to use. So it really depends on what they're made for, and it depends on how large they are. If it's a larger mat, then it's less likely that it's made l'shchiva as a kli, more likely that it's made for schach, and more likely to be kosher. A smaller mat is more likely made for shchiva, and therefore more likely to be mekabel tuma, and not be kosher. On Daf Chaf, the Gemara talks about leather bags that shepherds use to put food in. Now, certainly it's mekabel tumas meis because it's a kli. Question is it also mekabel tumas medras? So it's machlokes tanaim. Do we assume that since sometimes the shepherds may take a nap on it and use it as a pillow, it's mekabel tumas medras? Or do we assume that it's not mekabel tumas medras because shepherds aren't supposed to be taking naps on the job when they're out shepherding the sheep? We also talk about mats in general that are used every once in a while. If you have a The Gemara discussed what the definition of the word chotzlos is. So one possibility is that chotzlos means mats. So mats that are used sometimes to lie on, are they mekabel tumas medrash? The Gemara had said that that the Torah was forgotten three times, and harini kaparas mishkavas Rabbi Chiya banav, because he was the third time, he was the one that was machzir the Torah. So therefore, the halacha that he reminded us of, that mats being used sometimes l'shchiva, is subject to this machlok. Tanaim is a very important halacha, so he's machzir the Torah to us. That concludes the very first parak of Masechta Sukkah, and Be'ez Hashem, we will move on now to the second parak of Masechta Sukkah. I wish everyone great hatzlacha.